Okay, let's maybe, whilst we're recording, we could consider what our weeks in a sentence might be. I mean, they have
can only get better.
Things can only get better. It is Friday morn. It is a balmy 19 degrees on Friday the 5th
it's
of July.
New dawn, it's a new day.
It's a new dawn, it's a new day. And we are feeling good.
Yeah. And Rishi Sunak is packing his bags.
Packing his stupid little bags for all his tiny little clothes.
Imagine he's putting all his tiny clothes in like the red little briefcase.
I think,
they have for budget.
I think Rishi Sunak's suitcase is the like a Sylvanian family one.
I think that like the Chancellor is the worst job in cabinet because they all look like fucking simpletons when they're holding that little red lunchbox.
They look like the kebab where they're like, ooh, little red lunchbox. Yeah, so our week in a sentence is Tories out. Hashtag Tories out.
Hashtag Tories out.
Finally, after 14 years.
Yeah.
Always been a long 14 years, hasn't it? I've aged in that time.
Most people have, Rosie. Well, you know what? The funny thing is that actually, I can't read. Joke's on you, because I can't read.
I am actually illiterate. Yeah. Oh dear. Are you going to ask us some questions?
Yeah, okay. I've got some cues lined up.
We're more than happy to aid them.
Yeah, absolutely.
More than happy to what?
Aid them.
What does that mean?
Kieran, are you fucking stupid?
Okay, right, okay. Answer them. Sure.
Not good enough.
This is the illiterate one.
Yeah. You're like, ooh, what? Bright colours.
Because I'm an artist, actually.
Yeah. I can paint.
Do you paint by numbers? Oh, no, I can't, because I can't do numbers either.
So, first question. Who are you guys, and what is it that you do?
We are the Amateur Milk Society
Podcast.
Do that, get you saying.
Yeah. We are Sinead and...
Rosie.
And we make the Amateur Milk Society podcast, which is a podcast about the highs and lows of mothering in the modern age.
And we are
just trying.
So our tagline is we're just trying, because the whole emphasis of our podcast is about being really honest about parenthood and how hard it is, and trying to debunk all those kind of Instagram glamorous kind of motherhood experiences that are just not true.
Yeah, like we saw a niche that we would fit into, because the vast majority of parenting podcasts that are out there are usually like run by celebrities or just like rich people that can that have like these perfect glamorous like people sad that, beige baby lives.
People that don't live in kind of like semi-detached houses on like estates.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is what we are.
People that live in like beautiful Victorian villas in London,
yeah.
They are the people that have parenting podcasts, and they don't have a fucking clue because Tarquin and Constantine eat baba ganoush for dinner and they're perfectly behaved all the time, where we are raising feral children.
Yeah, my 3-year-old's favourite food is a disrobed sausage roll. She won't eat the pastry.
Yeah.
Because She's a fucking animal. She'll only eat the sausage, but she won't eat a normal sausage. She'll only eat a sausage roll, but not the pastry.
My six-year-old is the spirit of a disgraced French aristocrat in a six-year-old's body.
So we've got very different experiences with food, haven't we? Because your child wants to eat like she's the mother,
yeah,
like
she's
the daughter
like,
of a celebrity mother.
Please, mother, can I have another serving of pheasant? What do you want for dinner, Darcy? Steak. Served rare.
So my 6-year-old Ramona, she went to the zoo with the school on Wednesday. So they were there the whole day. They were there from 8 in the morning till 8 in the evening. And she brought her lunchbox back in and I unpacked it. And
exactly as you packed it this morning.
For those 12 hours that she was gone, she had eaten like 5 raspberries, 2 packets of crisps, sweets, chocolate, party rings, and then left all the good stuff. So the sandwiches, all the stuff that she was supposed to eat to fill her up. And she was sick on the coach. So, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Whereas my child demands a full crudité platter upon entry from school.
And I think this says this says a lot about honest motherhood. Because Tom just asked us who we are and what we do. And we've spent the last 5 minutes telling him what our children eat.
Yeah.
We're very selfless, aren't we?
Extremely selfless.
Very selfless.
Every mother is a saint.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think, like, that even though our podcast is about parenthood, most of it is just an excuse for us to yap about everything. Mostly how much our children are pissing us off. But sometimes we talk about them, like, say nice things about them as well.
Does that answer your question?
That answers my question. That's fantastic. This is so great. I'm going like, yeah, I get it, of course. Okay. Yeah.
Speaking as a parent myself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. As a white man with no kids. Okay, second question. How did you guys meet?
This is a good story, isn't it, Rosie?
Wow. Yeah.
Do you want to take the lead on this one?
Okay, so the year... What was the year?
Probably 2011.
2011. Let's call it 2011, 2012.
Yeah, yeah.
The school year, 2011, 2012. I was working as a cocktail...
Waitress. Waitress in a cocktail bar.
I was not. I was working in a bar called The Cookie, which is in the centre of Leicester. And I worked with a lovely girl.
Or was, R.I.P.
It's not anymore. I was working with a lovely girl called Alicia, and Alicia is one of Sinead's best friends. Mm-hmm. So Sinead frequented The Cookie quite often.
You say frequented, I probably use the word haunted.
Yeah.
I was there all the time.
There's quite a lot of what you would class. When we were both working at The Cookie, I would say there was what you would class as a lot of poltergeist activity in The Cookie. And it was just...
the man.
It was just Sinead falling downstairs. That's what it was.
It was just a man, he walked.
For the record that can't see us, a man just walked past
the window.
There's
a camera right there.
Yeah, but we're talking into our microphone.
There's a man.
There he is again.
There he is.
So I was working at The Cookie, and you were haunting The Cookie.
Yeah, shall I tell the story about the first time I ever saw you?
Oh, yeah, that was a... yeah, go on. Why not? It's a Friday, shame me.
So we were in The Cookie, and I was stood at the bar, as I was wont to do back then, and I hear me and my friend Alicia still talk about this quite regularly, because we were stood chatting, and I hear, "Oh, Rosie, I love your dress. I hate your shoes."
That's how my friends treat me. So this is
and
my
I turned
Andrew.
Around, and that was the first time I ever saw
and
Rosie
then I
in
appeared.
Person.
What a way to...
In a lovely, like, vintage dress.
Yeah. And also, really nice shoes.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
But my friend didn't like them.
I shouldn't talk over this bit. I'm trying really hard not to talk, so it sounds all good for the audio. But you've always been a great dresser.
Thank you.
And a snappy dresser.
Snappy dresser.
You are a snappy
can't
dresser.
Snap me, can I? Can't yeah, really no, snap.
An unclickable dresser.
Yes.
Just look like you're constantly like, yes.
Yes. Well, maybe that's why I'm a good dresser now, because I learnt from... the opinions that other people have me. Yeah, 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 that's it. I have my critics. I've dealt with them. Funnily enough, Andrew doesn't live in Leicester anymore. Where is he? yeah, so that's how we met. And The Cookie has a lot of history, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Which we won't talk about today, because we're having a happy day today, aren't we?
Yeah.
Because we're no longer under a Tory government. So...
Also, we don't want to get sued for slander.
We don't want to get sued for slander. But that's how we met. And then I... disappeared.
You went travelling. So I went to uni.
You went to uni.
I don't think we spoke for like the best part of...
Well, we didn't. We wouldn't have spoken at all had it not been for our mutual friend Beth.
Yeah, so I went to an antenatal class with our friend Beth, who was friends with Rosie anyway.
By the way, at this point we were pregnant. You didn't just show up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. At this point we were pregnant.
What's the deal with
antenatal? Guys, what's happening here? Yeah, no, you were pregnant, I was pregnant, we hadn't seen each other for years, so things have moved on.
Yeah, I don't think we actually met again until the babies were born.
Yeah, yeah, correct. The babies were born.
We did teething necklace making at Beth's house, I think.
And we...
Oh, no, baby cinema.
No, I didn't go to baby cinema.
Did you not go to
baby
cinema?
I never did baby cinema because my baby was awful. My baby had a lot of problems and cried a lot, and I would not have taken her into a cinema. Because I would have been scared of ruining it for all the other mothers, which is kind of one of the things we talk about in the podcast, right?
Yeah.
That sort of thing, those sort of feelings. But yeah, we met up because we had babies at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And we just happened to have mutual baby friends, and we hung out together, and it was like, oh, it's you! Oh my god, it's you!
Oh my god!
And then we've got a lovely group of friends, mum friends, who we hang out with, who are all gorgeous, and they're the reason we do the podcast, because we realise that we're incredibly lucky to have a group of friends that are all completely... non-judgmental, caring.
Like, especially because, so the bulk of our friendship group, like our mum friendship group, are from my antenatal class, and Rosie didn't necessarily gel with her antenatal class the best, so we adopted her into our
Let's just say, Tom, I went to a different antenatal class, and Rosie had to remove herself from the WhatsApp group. Put it that way.
The problem is, you went to the antenatal class when you weren't pregnant.
Yeah. I just popped up. Yeah, in those stupid fucking shoes that everyone is plopping away.
So, and then we're actual best friends.
Actual best friends who do podcasting. Mm-hmm. But we the reason we did the podcast is because we had a
New Year's Eve party.
New Year's Eve party, it was someone else's New Year's Eve party. So it was a New Year's Eve party that was hosted by one of the other mums. And then because we actually are very selfless.
We decided to provide entertainment.
We just took over. Mm-hmm. We created an award ceremony. We yapped our heads off. We made people come up
and
take
accept awards and make speeches.
Do speeches. But at that point, we were like, we need to record this shit.
And we repeated the award ceremony this year. And I don't know how it happened, but last year we used the top of a pineapple and pretended that it was a trophy, and everyone had to like hold the top of a pineapple and pretend it was a trophy. New Year's 2023, we picked an apple out of the fruit bowl, and then everyone had to take a bite of the apple.
Well, I'm allergic to apples, so what would I have done?
Oh, I don't know.
No award for you. No, you've been cancelled at the BAFTAs.
So, and also...
No, I think what would happen, Tom, is instead of like you being cancelled, it would be you get the apple, but then like I would come and do the speech for you.
Yeah.
Tom can't be here. Yeah, it would just be like a video link of you in this room.
You just FaceTime me from another room.
Thanks, guys.
Least 50% of the attendees of this party were suffering with some kind of illness. Yeah. We were just passing this apple around.
I think we're providing a service. Yeah, no, we're giving ourselves stronger immune systems.
Yeah.
In that room, I mean, if that had happened like 4 years ago, I think we'd be in an inquiry now about the start of COVID, to be honest.
Yeah, we were like ground zero for a new strain.
There's video footage, a bit like when Matt Hancock was cheating on his wife. It'd be like video footage of us passing this apple around.
But there's a wonderful picture of me and Rosie sharing this apple, like both taking, like Lady and the Tramp in the apple.
Yeah.
And
this is your very own part of Gate.
Really is.
We compared it to that picture of, is it at some award show, maybe the Emmys or something, the guy that plays Richie in The Bear and Matty Matheson like kissing, and we put the pictures together, and they were
pretty similar. We're just as fit, aren't we?
Even more fit. I would argue.
So what made you guys want to start a podcast? I think you kind of covered that, to be honest.
It was that New Year's Eve party. The way that it happened was like we did it, and then one of our friends was like, oh, that was really funny, you guys should make a podcast, and we took that and ran.
Well, also, I think one of the things that is, and it's like very unique to our friendship as well, is that when we're together and there's other people in the room, we are performing.
We like instinctively perform at people,
and we never spoke about it. It was never discussed. It never like it was like just happened.
Yeah, completely off the cuff, and that we've been compared by someone to Richard, not Richard and Judy, Punch and Judy.
Well, I'd have to be Richard because I've got no tits. Punch and Judy.
They were like looking at you two, having just a conversation. Yeah. It's like watching a Punch and Judy show.
I mean, just an aside for a minute, you guys know that I've been listening for a while. It is the most comforting listen I've ever had. And like, initially, I heard about it because of you, and you were like, oh, it's about being a mum, and I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to relate. And then I kind of listened to it, and it's a bit about being from Leicester, it's a bit about being friends with people, it's a little bit about kind of just existing.
That's it,
And it is like one of those things that I'll listen to it, and I'll go like, and I feel my shoulders start to like drop a little bit, and it's just like, and I realise like I answer you both a bit as well. I'm like, oh god, yeah. To be fair, you're right. And it's gotten me through a lot of really boring days. So it's been really fantastic.
Oh, thank you. That's so sweet.
Absolutely, genuinely.
That's a massive compliment. And actually, I think that's exactly what we need. Is that like you're not a parent. And for you to listen to it and be comforted by it, or to like enjoy it and get it,
yeah,
is exactly what we're trying to do, yeah, isn't it? Because
yeah,
that what we were saying before about parents being humans as well, it's kind of like the flip side of that, isn't it? It's like if someone who's not a parent can listen to it and relate and enjoy it, then you are, if you're a parent that's struggling being a parent, then you should listen to it too for the same reason, right? It makes sense.
Like not long after we started, we had someone messaged, I think you, Rosie, someone was like, listening to the podcast just feels like having a gossip over coffee with the girls, and that is exactly what we're going for.
Going for a gossip with the girls. Do you go for a gossip with the girls?
I'm my girlfriend all the time, yeah. End of the night, it's like, okay, let's reconvene. Right, did you see what she did at 6 p.m? I wrote it down on my phone. What was that? She started blinking with only one eye. It was really weird.
Oh my god, Tom, do you and your girlfriend? I've seen like a picture that's like a meme, and it does like remind me of certain situations with friendships and people. But are you and your girlfriend one of those where if you're sat in the midst of like something happening, you do a look to each other, which is just like, we'll talk about this later.
100%.
Yeah.
We've been together 11 years. We've been together since we were literally children.
Yeah.
So we've grown up together and we've learned each other's idiosyncrasies. And, you know, not to get all schmoozy and, but like...
You're allowed to.
We are best mates as well. And like, we just want to talk about pretty much anything that we're doing all the time. And it's very stupid and fun. But yeah, part of that is us being... basically seeing an atomic bomb being dropped in front of us, like someone going, oh, I think I'm going to have the rest of the Padron peppers here without asking anyone. And we kind of go,
you've got your looks.
About that later. I think they know that Padron is my favourite, but that's fine. No problem. Don't even worry about it. Oh, am I paying for that as well? Fantastic. So that's how that goes.
Yeah.
I quite regularly refer to Rosie as my platonic wife.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Didn't your mum... accidentally on a phone call me.
Yeah, she was like, oh yeah, Sinead's wife Rosie.
I think that's the sweetest thing ever. Yeah. Again, one of those things that I find so enjoyable is because growing up, I found it sort of difficult to make friends with guys quite a lot. That seems to be like a running theme throughout my childhood and sort of early teens. And now I'm lucky enough that I have like a core group of friends that I've met through work and through kind of doing shows and art and stuff, and I can rely on, you know that people are there. But I've always found it so much more comfortable, and maybe it's, you know, I'm sitting down on the front Freud's couch like, hey, it's my mother. But maybe it's the, you know, the fact that me and my mum always spoke a little bit deeper than me and my dad was. But I've always found myself drawn towards like female friendship groups and finding that much more, I don't know, relaxing for me. I'm always scared that like a guy is gonna say, oh, you know, the ball and chain or something like that, and I instantly start going, oh, just get me out of this. I can't relate to that kind of scenario. So I'm always a bit worried that like, I think you need to give me like at least an hour of me kind of slightly stood in the corner being like, is he one of the alright ones before I can properly talk to you.
Oh my god, tell me about it.
Are you a bit like that episode of the IT Crowd when they like join the football group?
Oh my god,
you're a bit like football.
Well, weirdly, I'm a huge football
fan. So you are a huge football so you're a huge football fan, so you've gotten in, haven't you?
Yeah, that's my, that's like your first thing is like, oh, here's your team, you just thought. And then from then on, you can kind of strike a conversation. But if that's all they seem to be interested in, like it seems to be like gym, football, misogyny. It's like the three cycles.
The Venn diagram.
Yeah. You just kind of go, yeah, I'm hoping within the next 3 to 4 minutes I can think of a good excuse to leave. But yeah, football's been a huge thing. But like also growing up as someone who has been kind of thrust into that world as someone who's always felt a little bit like he doesn't belong there is a really interesting thing. And I think it goes to like seeing the Lionesses win a couple of years ago,
yeah,
felt like the first time I was seeing groups of football fans who I could totally relate to,
yeah,
who felt like they were on sort of the fringes of that society a little bit more, maybe a bit more alternative, maybe
people
who have, you know, liked football or have liked sport but never felt like they've had a place.
Yes.
Mm. And then there's people like, you know, Vicky Park Queens, who are providing safe spaces for football fans. They've been doing it across the Euros. They've been putting on shows at venues of the matches where it's like a kind of invite-only thing where people who are gender queer or non-binary feel like they can go and enjoy football in a safe space. It's a sober space as well. Wow. And it's like an amazing, amazing thing. Yeah. And we really champion that sort of thing.
I do think, though, that the most interesting things like kind of grow and develop in the periphery of bigger like movements.
Yeah,
it's,
of course.
It's kind of like punk, I guess.
Yeah, you know.
The kind of punk thing of enjoying football but also being, you know, pansexual or bisexual or genderqueer or something, you know, a part of the LGBTQ plus movement. It's kind of this dichotomy of two sides of a coin that shouldn't work, but when they do, it's so, I just find it so exciting. But yeah, that's me wrapping up.
Well, I was just thinking then, like,
what actually was the question?
I don't know.
Well, I've got a question for you, but before I ask you the question, I wanna, and I know I do this all the time, but I'm gonna talk about idols. I'm sorry, but simply right? Their Glastonbury set was obviously amazing, but this other band, so I'm not going to name them because I don't think they deserve to be named, but another band made a like mockery of the lead singer of Idols on their Glastonbury set. And I want to make it known that one of their band members has been done for abuse, like violence against women. So that's the sort of band they are. But they were like making a mockery of Idols and saying that like their whole kind of like Idols ethos isn't punk, like, oh, it's not rock and roll. And I'm like, actually, I think if a band are being allies and voices for minorities, then that's as fucking punk as you can get, actually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So fuck you guys. So my question to you, Tom, is...
do you like Idols?
Please say yes. Yeah. No, my question to you is this, because you, like what you were just talking then about feeling like sort of safer in female spaces and being able to sort of talk and gossip and all that sort of thing. So my partner, Dave, is like... obviously a massive ally to all of us. He's great, he's wonderful, he's perfect. But he's really bad at small talk. He's so bad at small talk. He doesn't like football. Mm-hmm. He doesn't like sport at all. But he can't, like, he's a lovely guy, but he doesn't know where to start in those sort of situations. So I feel like he needs advice from someone like you in sort of like any gendered space in how you get talking. So what would your advice be to someone who can't do small talk?
I think it's a really interesting question. Like, for me, I think there's that stereotype that you go up and you go, football, football, football. But actually, a lot of the times, it depends on where you are. I mean, I spend a little bit of time going to gigs and stuff, and obviously, the second alcohol is introduced, it seems to lighten everyone's mood, and you can say, oh, this is good, this is bad, how are you, nice to meet you. Usually it's friend of a friend that will introduce you and you'll say, like, oh, so what do you do? Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
I honestly have no advice for
Dave. He hates that.
Yeah.
He hates all of that. All of that kind of too. What do you do? How are you? That stuff. And he said to me, like, he hates it because he doesn't care.
Yeah.
He doesn't care about those. He wants to know someone properly, but he doesn't know how to get to that point.
I want that, you kind of want to transport to, like, 6 months down the line when your shoulders have dropped.
Yeah.
I think one of the things for me is, like, I still get like this, even with people that I've known for years sometimes. There are times when I'm like, if I'm in a one-to-one situation with someone else, my shoulders start to tense up because I'm like, well, if I'm not talking and they're not talking, this is awkward silence and we don't really like each other, or you don't really like me and you're not telling me and we're hanging out of some sort of...
Okay, let's not introduce you to Dave then.
Yeah. But the thing about Dave is that, like, I've existed in, like, similar spaces to Dave for the past, like, 6 years since...
Like the time that kid was walloping people with balloons.
Oh, yeah. But, like, it's only in the past probably year, maybe 18 months that me and Dave have actually had...
actual words.
Proper conversations, like, exchange actual words with each other.
And the only reason that's happened is because I forced Dave to take... my children to parties so that I can do other stuff. And then you've been at the parties.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like this is someone that I've known for years, and he's only just sort of actually speaking to her because he's been forced, not that he doesn't want to, but he's been forced to.
I think maybe there's also like this kind of, not necessarily false, but this like enhanced sense of like intimacy because he has listened to the podcast.
So he knows
like a lot about what my values are, what I am interested in, what I stand for as a person. But I think like at the end of the day, you can't fast forward your way through those like initial like larval stages of a friendship, because those like initial bits of small talk is what like cements you as friends.
Exactly.
And then you get to the deep stuff later. You can't just like, you can't be like, let's build a skyscraper without building a foundation first, right?
I've been definitely like guilty of trying to do that as well. I think there have been times in my past where I've like 15, 16, you know, being a teenager is the worst thing in the world, and you know, like everyone, we all had our issues when we were that age. I think I tried to cling to people and like make those connections really hard and be like, this is going to be a buddy for life. And it's like, I've not spoken to them in 12 years, you know. There's that thing, I don't know, maybe again, a bit like the kind of before social media was so big, I'd watch things like Skins and stuff, and I was like, everyone in there, what a troop of cool guys. When is my troop coming along?
They were all awful. Awful.
Yeah.
Like, Tony deserved to get hit by that bus.
So true.
But yeah, that I think there was like that warped sensibility of like what friendship, and especially male friendship, is, can be. And then there's all this, like, I swear, every time I think like three boys walking together, I get Chelsea Dagger by the Fratellis in my head. I'm just like, IPAs! And I'm like, I don't really drink. It's terrible.
So this is a nice segue, actually, because one of the things I definitely wanted to speak to you about, if we are able to edit this together into some kind of coherent podcast material,
and if
the microphone picks your voice up at all, is like, what would your, and this also kind of coincides with like people like Dave, for example, who are, you know, massive allies to females. And
actively and not a misogynist.
And, you know, actively like, you know, nice people. But still, there's that element of like toxic masculinity, which is probably one of the reasons he struggles with small talk. It's that kind of like, I'm supposed to be masculine, so what do I talk about? So what would your approach be to toxic masculinity? Like, what are your thoughts?
I think as I've gotten older and slightly more comfortable with who I am, pretty quickly now, I'll kind of settle into my the mask comes off a little bit. I don't think I walk into any situation trying to be a blokey bloke, because it's just not who I am anymore, and it never really has been. But I think growing up playing a bit of rugby and like being on sports teams has always kind of given me a kind of natural like in there. But now I don't do those things. I run a bookshop, I'm an artist. Those things aren't the most like, you know, Chelsea Dagger things in the world. So,
and rightly so, Tom.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have it any other way.
But you kind of carve your own way out. I think it's so easy to just be like, be yourself. And like,
be
yourself.
But when yourself is then like,
when no one actually likes you because yourself is unlikable, then.
But it's like, and also, you're trying to be yourself and deal with toxic masculinity, and then you're walking down, I don't know, Market Street, and then you're accosted by some proper lads.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just be yourself, can you? Yeah. You can't just be yourself.
I think there's that part where you're like, if I can just get away from these people without them trying to hurt me, then I've probably done a good enough job.
So what you're saying is, how to deal with Tom, how do you deal with toxic masculinity? Just play dead.
Avoid men.
Everyone's a bear in the woods. You know, bear or the man? Which one are you going to
bear.
You always go for the bear.
Always go for the bear.
Great TV show.
Especially if the bear is Jeremy Allen White.
Yeah.
The best thing I saw about that was someone said...
Yes, chef.
I would choose the bear because... I wouldn't. The police wouldn't then ask me what I was wearing afterwards, after the attack, which which I thought was quite
I would choose the bear, because it wouldn't mansplain how it was going to rip me to pieces.
Yeah, absolutely. I would choose the bear, because I think bears are quite cute, to be honest, as well.
Yeah.
Also, a one-to-one with another man, nightmare. My ultimate fear.
Yeah. I'd prefer to be mauled to death by a bear than have a conversation with another man.
Honestly, yeah, every time I go on a first date, I have that exact thought. I'm like, can I go on a first date with a bear?
With a bear. Let's try that. We could try that.
You know that bit at the end of Midsummer? Where he's dressed up and they put him in the little fire temple thing. And they're just like, whatever the music is. That's the ideal first date. The ideal first date.
Yeah, actually, thinking about it, I think my ideal first mate would be quite kind of, first date would be quite kind of Wicker Man.
Mm-hmm.
Quite like the idea of some kind of ritual.
Yeah.
Involves the burning of corn.
You've all been there. You
know, my first dates feel like I'm walking through the RSPCA.
Yeah.
I'll take you home for the night. Yeah. We'll see how we get on. Sorry.
I mean, famously, I am just a foster home for emotionally damaged men.
They did this one by some of them. Yeah, yeah.
I provide rehabilitation till they go to their forever home. And now, I'm actually now, providing an invaluable public service.
You are.
Now you're really struggling with them, because 50% of them aren't allowed near children, are they? That's awful. Do you have any other questions for us?
Yeah.
What are your plans for the rest of this year?
Oh.
Okay, well, I've got a big one for you, because it's coming up. We've got to get through the summer holidays.
Yeah.
We've got to get through the summer holidays.
We've got to survive the summer holidays.
Last summer holidays, my children weren't in any kind of structured care at all, because we couldn't afford it. And I had a mental breakdown at the end of it.
So, yeah, Rosie went off grid for a good 3 weeks.
I went completely wrong. So I would say the first thing that I want to do this year is to prevent myself from having a mental collapse in August.
Yeah.
That's number one.
Zero mental health crises.
Number two.
Oh, we're going...
Number two.
Yeah.
I want to become... So you know how I was just saying then about like a Wicker Man ritual? I want that sort of shit when we're in Island Man.
Yeah, we're going to Ireland together.
We're getting on tour. Lads.
Chelsea Dagger, please. Yeah. Alexa, play Chelsea Dagger.
Slow down reverb version of Chelsea Dagger, please.
Can we have like a folk version of Chelsea Dagger?
One of the people that I work with listens exclusively to a bardcore playlist when they're working. It's incredible.
Wow.
I'm really into this. I'm really into this.
It's amazing. They sent me the link to the bardcore playlist yesterday.
But yeah, we're going on holiday to Ireland, so we're going to go and stay with your uncle.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going, Dave and the kids are coming, you and Darcy and your cousin Chloe, and they're going to take us on a tour of the best parts of Ireland.
Well, the best parts of your specifically island. The west coast of Ireland.
So we're going to go see the Father Ted house.
We are.
We're going to see some castles.
Drink some Guinness. We're going to go to, near where my family live, there's a place called Bunratty Castle. And it's like an old, like, Norman castle, but they've got a whole folk park where they've got buildings that they've literally, like, moved brick by brick from various places around Ireland to build, like, a little village. It's so cute.
That sounds amazing.
And then on the weekends, they have, like, an ironmonger and a traditional carpenter. And people that, like, make bread and shit, make butter.
Make bread and shit.
And there's a farm and a fairy trail through the woods.
Gorgeous.
That's what we're... So that's our plan for the year.
Yeah.
But business-wise...
Business-wise, I...
Odd cutter. Business-wise.
We've got a few things that are kind of... The ideas that are cooking.
Yeah. Which this place might be able to.
Yeah, I want to see if we can submit a show for Leicester Comedy Festival next year.
Absolutely.
But I think submissions have to be in by September, and we've got the summer holidays to contend with. We'll see.
Yeah.
Maybe
it's about the summer holidays. Yeah, we're just lots of reels of us sat on a beach in
Ireland.
Like
this.
That submission deadline's coming up, actually.
We want to do an exhibition as well, don't we?
Yeah, we'd like to do an exhibition here.
Our friend Connie to do an exhibition, like multimedia exhibition with.
We would like to do a multimedia exhibition about mum guilt. So that would be the premise of it, and we'd like the people of Leicester to sort of submit work for us as well.
Mm-hmm.
We just really like this idea of like really bringing mum guilt to the surface, because obviously with guilt it's something that we all try and suppress or not talk about, we don't like to share it, and I think it'd be a really important thing to sort of just really put out there, and have it presented in lots of different ways that people might understand visually, you know, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, we want to do more community building, more little events. We did the MILF meetup a couple of weeks ago, which we thought would be really well attended, but it was sunny, so
no one came.
It was just
us two reading The Tiger King to a room of about 5 people. Yeah, it wasn't 5 people. There was about what, 20-30 people.
Yeah, and the people that came were all like lovely and really supportive.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, that's not bad though. I've made events where maybe 4 or 5 people.
And it was like, it was so hot and sunny. It was not a surprise that no one showed up.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We still have a great time.
We had a great time.
Us. So that sort of thing would be good. That's about it really, isn't it?
Yeah, want to make more podcasts, talk about, we've got some pressing issues that we want to discuss on podcasts, so.
Yeah.
And this would be a good time to start talking about how this space might be useful to us and other people.
Shall we wait for Tom to ask the questions?
That was my last question.
I did.
That was my last question.
I'm sorry. I think I made it very clear that we're narcissists and I'll speak when I want, actually.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Ask us the question then, Tom.
That was the last question. I'm so sorry.
Can we ask you very quickly if you've got a love and a loathe of the week?
My love is my wife. I'm not joking. That's true. But it's not a great answer, is it? My love, probably, I've gotten really back into pickled onion Monster Munch.
Oh, classic crisp flavour. Yeah. Big time.
And again, my loathe of the week is probably my partner having to sit with me having eaten 2 to 3 packs of pickled onion Monster Munch, because she's like, that, I can smell it.
You stink.
Your mouth smells like a hellhole.
Take care, it's pickled onion Monster Munch. Yeah. I would just like to give you a little tip.
Mm.
In Lidl at the minute, their version of pickled onion Monster Munch, which is called Monster Claws, they do a double XL pack, which is about this big. Of just pickled onion Monster Claws. But they also, alongside that, do a share a bag of crisps, which are pickled onion crisps by a brand called Taylor's. And they are like the pickledest pickled onion crisps you'll ever try. Mm. And we buy like 3 packs of each to get our family. Like, my children like pickled onion flavoured crisps, so we all eat pickled onion crisps all of the time.
I love pickled onion crisps. Yeah. Although, you know what my current crisp of choice is? It's a giant Wotsit.
But it has to be the flaming hot ones, right?
No, the cheese ones.
Oh, you like the cheese ones, okay.
I think the consistency of a giant Wotsit is far superior to the consistency of a regular size Wotsit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bigger is better.
More cheese to corn perforation, I guess.
Yeah, big time. Big crisp fans, aren't we? Mm-hmm. What's your loathe of the week?
Loathe of the week, it's a bit of a open goal with the Tory government.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Very happy that they're no longer in power.
Yeah, finally got rid of the pricks, haven't we? Mm. So we're actually doing this interview on the 5th of July, which is the morning that we found out that we're now under a Labour government rather than Tory government, which is kind of okay. Could it be better?
Not the worst.
It's not the worst, is it? It's not the worst.
It's a medium Big Mac rather than a large Big Mac meal.
Yeah.
You're still getting a Big Mac, but I can see the chicken.
Also, it's like it's a medium Big Mac meal, but they forgot to put the sauces in for you as well.
And you're like, oh, I have to go back round the Can I have four ketchup things, actually?
Or you have to drive your McDonald's home and squeeze ketchup onto your own plate like a peasant.
Your home ketchup? What is that rubbish?
I think that is the Labour government, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's taking home your medium-sized McDonald's meal and have to use your own ketchup from your cupboard.
They're red as well, red.
Love it. This is a really lovely analogy. There's a t-shirt in there somewhere. Let me get thinking.
Right, thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you very much.
We've had a great time.